Hi, everybody. Welcome to another Chats with Chaudhry. I hope you're safe and well. Today, I've got a really interesting subject for my chats, which I'll come to in a short moment. But let me introduce my two guests today. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Dave Nobley, who is a Technical Services Group Manager at Contech Inc., and also Neil Simpson, who is Technical R&D Manager for Europe for Contech Inc. Gentlemen, lovely to speak to you. And today, we are going to be talking about the seven deadly sins of contamination control in the clean room. So what a title that is. And that is actually a title of an upcoming Contech Talks webinar. So gentlemen, good afternoon. How are you?
Well, thanks.
Good afternoon, Rizwan.
It's lovely
Very
seeing you.
happy to be here and speaking with you.
Oh, well, Dave, I know it's not afternoon though. You've got up very early in the morning. So thank you for joining us early in the morning. Where are you? Do you mind me asking, where are you calling in from, Dave?
No, not at all. My career at Contech has been spent entirely working from home, which is in Los Angeles. I'm calling you a little after 7 in the morning.
All right, and Neil, you're calling in from lovely Wales.
I was going to say not quite as glamorous as calling in as Dave, but yeah, I'm calling from South Wales, just outside of Swansea.
Fantastic. Well, it's lovely to see you both. So before we start talking about the seven deadly sins and finding out what they actually are, and I can assure you, readers, viewers, it's not gluttony or jealousy or anything like that. So it'll be something very different. Perhaps one of you kind of talk about context, just give us a very quick overview, and also if you give us a little bit about your own backgrounds, if you don't mind as well.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'll go ahead. My name is Dave Nobley, and I've been in contamination control for pushing 40 years now, the past 27 years with Contech. My training is a mechanical engineering by background. Contech is a unique company in our space. We are a manufacturer of clean room wipers and mops and disinfectants for use in controlled environments worldwide. We have such a wide portfolio of products for every application, every environment, and we manufacture on three continents, and we have sales and distribution worldwide as well. We have facilities in the UK. Our headquarters is in Spartanburg, South Carolina, in the US, and we have manufacturing facility in China as well.
Brilliant. Thank you, Dave. And your quick background, if you don't mind.
I'm myself, Rizwan, yeah. So only 20 years or just over 20 years experience in contamination control. So not quite the same as Dave.
Rookie.
My background is microbiology. My specialism, I suppose, would be disinfectants and biocides. But we've been working in the contamination control industry for quite a considerable length of time now.
Fantastic. So
60 years combined, which sounds very scary.
Yeah,
Well, and
really.
I was thinking, Neil, the other day, the webinar that we're doing next week, we have over 100 years of combined experience in one spot, so it's going to be pretty good.
Well, gentlemen, you don't look it. Let me say that anyway. So here we go. So let's talk about the seven deadly sins. So what are the seven deadly sins when you start talking about contamination control in the clean room?
Okay, I'll start off with that. I mean, really, it's the issues that can arise within a clean room, and we say seven because they tend to fall within seven typical categories of issue. And these are things that we've found over this 60 years plus of our experience, or 100 years plus of our group experience, that will affect the particle or microbial contamination within a clean room environment, or could affect any other aspect within a clean room environment.
Right. I mean, I know you don't want to sort of preempt what you're going to talk about next week by going through all of them, but could you give an example of a couple of them for the viewers just to get some sort of feel for what you're going to be talking about?
Sure. And I should point out too, right, that these are the seven deadly sins that we've just identified based on our experiences over the years in the field. And the sins in the clean room, right, regarding contamination control are by no means limited to seven. So I think
The
that's
kind of
interesting.
seven generic areas that we can fit lots of different sins within, or lots of
Yeah.
different issues within.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, things like using tools improperly, and in this regard, we're referring specifically to cleaning tools, using cleaning tools improperly, poor gowning room organization, improper disinfectant use, contact time, things of that nature, layout of tools and equipment in the clean room, which can dramatically impact the airflow in the clean room, which can dramatically impact product quality, tacky mat and sticky mat orientations and usage, which is probably one of the most commonly seen sins in the clean room, poor visible contamination control, so and yeah, we're going to touch on all of those: cleaning, residue remediation. Those are kind of the seven categories that we've identified, and we'll touch on all of those in our discussions next week for sure. But I think for me, one of the most common that we see in when we tour clean rooms throughout the world and do the audits that we do, clean room layout and design, equipment placement within the clean room often has no bearing on the airflow in the room, and the airflow in the room should be coordinated with the equipment placement so that you get the best quality air in your most critical space. And there are other sins regarding clean room design that we'll get into next week, but I am convinced that to a large extent, a lot of clean room designers have no idea what goes on in a clean room. But now, I'll just put that out there.
Yeah, and from my perspective as well, Rizwan, I mean, the people that we go to see, our customers, our end users, they are experts in manufacturing the products they manufacture. Whereas we are experts in clean room cleaning and disinfection, and so when they have typical regulatory guidance, I'll take Annex 1, very European, but I'll take Annex 1 GMP as an example. It tells people that they must have a residue removal program. And that's pretty much as far as the guidance goes. So there are many, many different ways in which you can approach it. And without that experience, people tend to fall back on what they know or what they did in the last company they work for or what they've been doing for the last 15 years. So it's very difficult for them to take that regulatory guidance and put it into, perfect working effect. So part of what we do is come in, we review what they do, and we give recommendations. And we base these recommendations on things like guidance, regulatory guidance, as well as best practices. We've seen a lot of best practices. We've worked ourselves on trying to form best practices in our industry as well.
Right. I mean, both you mentioned two specific examples. Obviously, Dave, you talked about airflows, and Neil just mentioned about residue removal. So let's just look at those two as examples. So if you weren't making sure that you maximize the airflow, what would be the impact of that? And then following that, obviously, Neil, maybe you can talk about if you didn't do residue removal properly, what would the impact would be to a clean room from that point?
Sure. Well, like Neil pointed out, right? People are busy. Their primary responsibility is manufacturing a quality product. And so they get caught up in the day-to-day business of doing what they do, right? Making what they make. And a lot of times they are blind just because of rote familiarization, right? They're blind to some of these issues that have impacts on product quality. One of the primary examples that we'll probably discuss next week for sure, you go into a gowning room, for example, and gowning rooms tend to be much, much smaller than they need to be for a given clean room space. Again, going back to designers not really understanding what happens in a clean room. And oftentimes the gownings, the gowns, the supply shelving, right, the shelves that hold the supplies that are used in the gowning room are pushed up against the wall because that's where the logical space is, even though it wasn't perhaps designed for that. And there's the air return registers right on that wall. And they push the rack right up against the wall, right up against the registers, and they chalk, they stuff it full of bags of garments and gloves and disinfectant solutions and other paraphernalia that they use in the gowning room, and it's blocking the airflow in the gowning room. So this gowning room that was intended to be have good clean airflow to help separate the outside world from the inside clean room area, all of a sudden has absolutely poor airflow, and you don't have good predictable quality control in your gowning room. And that's one real clear example.
Right.
On the residue side, well, wow, where do I start? I mean, there's so many that we can discuss, and I don't want to kind of give too much away as well from when we will be discussing it in our kind of contact talks webinar. But whenever I go to a facility, probably one of the very first things I'll do is take a look at the clean room windows. They're a great guide as to whether or not you have residue throughout your facility. If you see streaks, even see some colored staining, you can have white crystalline product on clean room windows, anything which indicates they've used a product within their facility that hasn't been completely removed, you know you've got a residue problem. And if you see it on windows, you're gonna see it in other parts of your facility. Why is it an issue? Well, some of them can be removed in cleaning. They can form very small particulate matter, which, you know, of course, within a manufacturing, a pharma manufacturing cleaning environment, you don't want any form of cross-contamination happening. It can even impact the next round of disinfecting and cleaning activities that you carry out as well. So, you know, ensuring you're on top of any residues within your manufacturing environment is a critical aspect of any pharma or any clean room contamination area.
Right. Okay. And then, so my final question relating to those top examples that you just gave is that, I mean, Dave, it sounds like yours is a pretty obvious solution to the problem that you've just said. So I don't want to make it sound so obvious, but the fact is, I'm guessing the solution to that problem is just making sure that you leave those areas clear so that, that you can measure the airflow properly and allow.
You would think so, wouldn't you? But the problem again, right? Getting back to, and so often customers are you know, companies are using the space that they have. Maybe they inherited it, maybe they purchased the facility and they moved in and they're using something that wasn't designed specifically for them. But oftentimes you're constrained by the layout of the room, whether it's the gowning room or the production room, whatever it happens to be. And you know that you shouldn't do something a certain way, but you have no choice simply because of the layout of the room. Yeah. But, and this is where experience comes in. And that's where experience of seeing so many clean rooms, or I mean, literally hundreds of clean rooms over the past couple of decades, comes into play, where you can talk about what I like to call practical best practices, right? You have best practices, which is the ideal and perfect world. This is what you would do. And then you've got the practical best practices where you say, okay, this is the reality we have to work with. How can we make sure that we get the most out of our clean room, the most out of our procedures, and still live within the real world? And so finding solutions for that, even though it may be obvious to move the rack away from the return vent, sometimes that's not possible. So how do you do that? Well, maybe you put a shorter rack on, you don't put any shelves down below, so you still have some airflow into that under the gown and the garments that are maybe hung up on a rod, right? So things of that nature, I mean, that people don't think about, they don't see, because again, they're busy doing other things.
Right. And Neil, same question to you about the residue.
I mean, Dave set it up really nicely, saying, talking about kind of practical best practices. So for residues, I mean, the majority of residues that you'll find in a clean room environment will typically come, if not from the manufacturing process itself, from the disinfectant and cleaning products they're using within the clean room. Anything with a clean room, you know, the whole point is to have a very clean environment. But there had been a typical usage over the last decade where people would apply cleaning or disinfection chemistries, leave them on the surfaces. These would then form residues. Now, different chemistries will form different types of residues. Some of them will be visible, some of them not so visible. So again, it's not always obvious that you have them there, which is why windows are a great way of looking, because you can use light, you can use reflections, and you can see through the window and have a good idea if the residue was present in the first place. So really, it's just working then on a risk-based approach of how you can remove them from best practice, which is once you've applied a disinfectant, you wait for the contact time that you validated, then you would remove it in some method, whether it's wiping away, using some alcohol, using a detergent. So you would have that approach. Or you would do that practical approach that Dave was talking about, maybe a weekly or a monthly detergent clean down, depending on how easy it is to apply this within your clean room environment. But it's really getting those residues away from those surfaces. And if you can do it straight away, that's great. If you don't allow residues to build up, they're not going to be there to be a problem in the future.
Right. And again, one final question related to both those examples. If you don't do these things, how serious is the implication of not doing it? So what is the impact serious, you know, to the clean room and to the finished product if you don't do these things?
It's always a risk. So clean rooms, you're basing everything on a risk approach. So for residues, as I said, if some residue form, you know, was broke away and somehow got into a product contact area, it could be adding a contaminant to a batch of pharmaceutical product. That could have lots of different risks. It could fail the batch, which could be extremely expensive. Or there's the outside possibility that it could be part of the product itself and have some form of harmful effect when used outside of manufacture. So, you know, it can have, you know, serious consequences in the very worst case scenarios.
Right. Okay. So I know we haven't gone through the seven deadly sins, and, you know, we sort of talked about this before we recorded this. We want people who are watching this to put below the comments what they think are the common seven deadly sins within a clean room environment. What do they think are things that people shouldn't be doing but are doing currently within clean rooms? And then, you know, go on, you were going to say, Neil, sorry.
No, I was going to say, and I just love to kind of read what people are going to actually put in there. So, again, as Dave said, outside of seven generic topics that we've added, there are a multitude of potentials. So it'll be really interesting to see what people will come up with as examples.
Sure. Well, so, go on, you're going to say, Dave, sorry.
No, and I should point out, right, we welcome questions. And one of the reasons, and you know, hearing from the field, right, hearing from the people that are actually living this, what they think is are the problems in their clean room and looking for solutions. I mean, that's what we're here for. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do this panel discussion was because people listening in will, in some cases, will see themselves very, very clearly. And in some cases, it won't be applicable at all. But what we are certainly going to have is the ability for people watching to ask questions of the panel. And we're going to try and respond to those questions and provide some solutions as best we can remotely, kind of in real time. So we welcome the questions. And like I say, the seven that we chose are by no means the exhaustive list.
That's brilliant. Well, look, thank you very much. So when is the chat that you've got? What date is it on?
Well, let's see. Ours in the US is next Wednesday. I don't know the time exactly. Actually,
don't worry. We'll put that. Don't worry, we'll find that out. We'll put that on there. So don't worry about that, Dave.
And for Europe, it's going to be the next day. So it's going to be Thursday the 20th, and it's at 11 a.m. Central European time.
Right. So we've got for North America is the 19th, and then you can see it on the 20th on the Thursday the day after for Europe. So yep. I'll put the links for both those above them. Gentlemen, it's been lovely to meet you and talk about some of the issues around clean rooms. It's a fascinating subject. You know, you know, all these things you think, oh, what's the big deal about detergents and cleaning stuff? But actually, you have such, no, you know, yeah, it doesn't, but when you delve deeper into any subject, it's amazing how interesting they can become. And also how, more importantly, how important they are to making sure that the pharma products and the drugs that we get are safe to take and to use. So they are very, very important topics. So thank you very much for sharing some of your 60 years of experience that you've got between you. See, I am listening to your experiences to me today. It's lovely to see you both. And I wish you a lot of success with your talk on the 19th and on the 20th. And I hope lots of people do it. And lots of people put some examples below the video so that you can sort of see what people are thinking some of the sins you're going to raise are going to be. So thank you very much for your time today, Neil.
Rizwan, thank you very much.
Rizwan, it's been a pleasure. Great to speak to you. Thank you.
Lovely to see you. And so, viewers, as we said, the talk is on the 19th and the 20th. The links will be above the video, so you can click. It's a free registration, so there's no cost. It's just about spending a little bit of time to learn a bit more about clean rooms. And if you are someone who uses clean rooms and you have got some questions, or you want to sort of take part in this little quiz we're doing to say what are your thoughts in terms of what some of the seven deadly sins are, feel free to put them below the video. I'm sure Neil and Dave would love to see what you put down. So until next time, as always, stay well and stay safe. Bye-bye.